Back to the future. Everything old is new again. Everything has changed in the conditions of our resistance. Or has it? The last authentic resistance Prince accepted in the U.S., authentic in the sense of being based in an accurate analysis of the true threat and global power's suppression of the human spirit, was Occupy, and that got shut down quick. That result required us to use our Earth gift of reflection and to rethink resistance. Do we have to know for certain that global politics is theater in order to turn away from it and begin working with our brothers and sisters on a global basis? And doesn't it fall to us in the U.S. and others placed in zones of relative privilege to take the lead on this? These guys hide their true motives, plan in secret, and work in concert, and we cannot prove that reports of danger that emerge sudden, unexpected, are intended to provoke insecurity in us. North Korea is upset and has nuclear weapons. War on the horizon in pick a region. ISIS defies all efforts to contain it. Are moves by global statesmen callously calculated? All we can know for certain is that but a bit of reflection tells us true. Rulers want to maintain their rule, and control of us through division, insecurity, and confusion is how they do it. It's really not complicated at all, understanding this continued holding pattern in hell that we're stuck in. It's just about power for millennia and what it does. It prevents us from using our reason by boxing it up as a category of human endeavor, not us, but rather assigned to the betters, while teaching us to bow down before it. We excluded from entry, and as Power points out in a key Plato lesson to rulers, small the risk that the designated betters will ever join hands with the designated lessers, except we know, of course, that this is just what happens, as the human spirit is bound to evolve. Jesus, the prophets, and all love's operatives removed to the truth. The ones who say no to the state make history, Prince tells us, reminds us in Act of God. And the authentic resistance of Socrates must have been very unsettling to Plato. And motivating in a negative sense, it must have obsessed him how to prevent it. Quoting Karl Popper's The Open Society and Its Enemies, Volume 1, The Spell of Plato, to tell men that they are equal has a certain sentimental appeal, but this appeal is small compared with that made by a propaganda that tells them that they are superior to others and that others are inferior to them. Are you naturally equal to your servants, to your slaves, to the manual worker who's no better than an animal? The very question is absurd. Plato seems to have been the first to appreciate the possibilities of this reaction and to oppose contempt, scorn, and ridicule to the claim to natural equality. This explains why he was anxious to impute the naturalistic argument even to those of his opponents who didn't use it. In the Menexenus, a parody of Pericles' oration, he therefore insists on linking together the claims to equal laws and to natural equality. Quote, from Plato, the basis of our constitution is equality of birth, he says ironically. We are all brethren and all children of one mother, and the natural equality of birth induces us to strive for equality before the law, unquote. From Plato, from The Open Society and Its Enemies, the chapter Totalitarian Justice. But a brief few centuries on, and few among rule are quite so openly heaping scorn as before on the notion of our natural equality. Socrates' blood was given. Then Jesus came, took up the challenge of the bowl, poured in his part. And a few brief years on came Paul, received his vision and his mission, and let it shine within him, the light of life freely given. A choice determined by reason, our infinite gift to eternity.